So today I'm going to talk about possible representations of split-wheel quantum groups. So this is initiated in a joint work with my advisor Igor Frankl when I was doing my PhD. And yeah, let's get started. So first of all, let me fix a simple Lie algebra, G over the complex numbers. So for each simple Lie algebra, there's a associated Hopf algebra called quantum group defined by Triumvir and Jimbo, and originally motivated for a search for solutions to the Young-Baxter equation. And over these 30 years, it leads to the one-dimensional representation theory, leads to many applications. In particular, the important ones are the geometric invariants, the TQFTs, and not invariants, coming from the braided tensor category. And there are also some other structures like the categorical regressions and Kachanovich's theory and many more. Right. So in classical Lie theory, usually people are interested in two important real forms called the compact forms and the split real form. So the compact forms corresponds to compact group. So for example, you have, in type A, you have SUN, and you also have like SO2N are the compact ones. And it's known that the finite dimensional representation theory is very nice. So for example, the irreducible representations are classified by all these highest weight representations. So given a dominant weight, you have a finite dimensional representation. And this behaves very nice in a nice way where, for example, it is closed under taking tensor product. And there's also like a Peter Weyl's theorem which expresses the functions on this compact group in terms of the right and left regular representations of the envelope of the algebra. And these structures also generalize nicely to the corresponding quantum groups. So we still have a closure under tensor product with a modified structure constant, I mean the multiplicity constant. We also have like a Peter Weyl's type theorem where the left-hand side will be some quantum algebra OQT. And there's also like a non-trivial braiding between groups.
Let me get my slides, so we'll stay on.
Okay, just keep moving my mouse. Right, so there's also like a construction of universal R matrix, which gives a braiding structure of the representations, which together gives the braided tensor category, which leads to these applications on geometric invariant and so on. So this picture is very nice in the compact case. However, in the real case, the split real case, the situation is much more complicated, which is done in this monumental work by Harisandra. So just as an example, when G is SL2R, the simplest split real case, the classification of irreducible unitary representation is already very complicated. So except for the trivial one, the trivial representations, you have like a continuous principal series, you have discrete series, you have something called complementary series. And for example, taking the tensor product of the continuous ones does not give you just a continuous representation. You also have like this discrete part showing up. And yeah, so we also need to use the notion of direct integrals, which is an analog, continuous analog of direct sum. And similarly for Peter Weyl's theorem, now when you talk about functions on the group, you want to have this L2 structure instead. And as a representation, it is also decomposed into the continuous part and discrete part. And also the complementary presence shows up. So it's much more complicated. So we can also generalize this to the quantum group level. So in that case, we expect to, the representation theory involves a lot of self-adjoint operators, which is more or less more physically relevant, but it is very difficult due to all these analytic difficulties of non-compactness or like unbounded operators on Hilbert space. So most of the fundamental foundation work are done from the physics point of view. So these are the names, Fadiev, which passed away a few months ago, Kashaev, Volkov, Teshna, and so on. Right, so let's look at the simplest possible case, which is the UQSF2R. It turns out that there exists some special class of representation called P lambda, which behaves very good in some sense. So these representations are studied by George Teshna and his collaborator from the point of view of quantum neutral theory. So these representations are parameterized by a positive real number, lambda. And the generators of these quantum groups turns out to be expressed in terms of positive self-adjoint operators on the Hilbert space L to R. And these representations are nice in the sense of Smithian, which is an integrable representation, but it has no classical limit when you take Q goes to 1. So it's not as direct as the compact case where the quantum coefficients when the Q goes 1 just get back the usual coefficients. So the representation theory is nice in the sense that some structures are quite parallel to the representation theory of the compact case. So for example, if you take the tensor product of these two representations, you get back a direct integral of only this part, only this representation, but no discrete and residual thing. And there's also like a braiding you can construct, which kind of gives you a continuous braided tensor category structure. And also a certain kind of Peter Weyl theorem also holds, where the left-hand side is some Hilbert space defined in some way that I will explain later, depending on the positive part of the SL2R, but quantized function on this positive part of SL2R. So these are the one of the main motivations that we would like to generalize such representations.
So that inside is a combination
with the
The
right hand side?
Yeah, I don't know, really. The partition is conjugate.
Yeah, so this is like the so you have a UQG action on the left hand side as like coming from the left and right of the fiction. So it's like a left regular, right regular representation. So this is like as an isomorphism of representations of UQG by module. Right. So the research program started with my advisor is to generalize Hessian representation to higher rank. And the characteristic is to also represent those generators as positive self-adjoint operators acting on some bigger Hilbert space. But at the same time, there are many new phenomena that is not present in the compact case. For example, we have to use the structure of Fadier's idea of the modular double shows up, and there's this special function called quantum dilogarithm that appears in all the calculations. There's the Lanyard's duality, which relates the long and short roots, but now it can express in a very simple analytic relation as operator in the operator algebra sense, which I'll also explain later. And there's also connections between the Drumfield-Jimbo quantum groups and the C-star algebra, which usually people won't work in the Drumfield-Jimbo setting, but on the group level. So this kind of build a new bridge between the representative theory of UQG and the C-star algebra school. So in the process, we also studied the Casimir operators of these representations, which seems to have connections with singularity theory and discriminant variety. And finally, to the connection of quantum time theory and cluster algebra, which is in the joint work, the ongoing work with Schroeder and Shapiro. And we hope that these representations will generalize the many applications of the finite dimensional theory in the higher rank also, which will lead to many applications.
Sure.
Yes?
What is going to be the inner rotational space?
Same?
What is going to be the inner rotational space?
Terminal space?
Yeah,
yeah, so I'll explain it later. Yeah. So this is like an overview of the of the program. So, so let's do things in more detail. So as notations, my quantum group will depend on the parameter Q, which lies on the unit circle, and we assume it is not a root of unity. Then UQSL2R is defined as the usual Drumfield-Jimbo quantum group relations with the coproduct and also co-unit and antipode. So the important thing is that we have this real form which defines the star structure, and we assume that these generators are all self-adjoint. So for higher rank, we will also have like serial relations and some extra relations also. So the goal is to represent these generators K and E and F as self-adjoint operators acting on some Hilbert space. So that's the goal. And if you just look at, say, the first relation, k equals q squared ek, so it turns out this is called the quantum plane. If we assume the generators are positive, and to represent them as self-adjoint operators, there is a canonical way of doing it using the exponential operator, the multiplication operator, and shifting operator, I think on L2R. So you can see that these operators are positive self-adjoint, but they are unbounded. So the multiplication by the exponents just grows, blows up. And we act like shifting in the complex direction. So in particular, the domain of V, say, are those functions that allows analytic continuation to those strips in the complex direction. So for unbounded operators, this UV equals Q squared VU relation should also take into account those domains of these unbounded operators. And usually, there are two ways of dealing with such relation. The first way is to consider a dense subspace of the domain, which is called the core, which kind of, roughly speaking, a large domain that uniquely defines the domains of your operator. So these are like the rapidly decreasing function. Px is just polynomials in x. So u and v will act on, will preserve the space w. And then this relation will make sense on w. Another way of thinking about this relation is to use Shumagin's integral representation notation, which takes for each operator a complex power of this generator. So these operators are positive, self-adjoint, which means by functional calculus, you can apply functions to it. In particular, if you apply taking complex powers, they will become unitary operators. And then this relation will make sense as unitary operators for all possible choice of the powers. So these are the two ways of thinking about such a relation of the quantum plane as unbounded operator. So this is the canonical representation. If now we do something to the exponent, we change B to B inverse, what we get will be a new copy called U tilde and V tilde that satisfies, again, a different set of relations using the Q tilde instead. But the interesting thing is that these new variables will commute with the old ones because, for example, when you commute the non-tilde and tilde part, there's this e to the 2 pi I popping up, which is just 1. And weakly here means that it only commutes on some dense subspace, but not as spectral.
When you take complex powers of these.
Yeah, it doesn't commute, so that's why it's called a weak. Yes, that's exactly the meaning, yes. So it only commutes on, say, W, some dense subspace. So together, Fadier's idea is to consider all these generators together, and he coined the term modular double. And this structure should extend also to the split real quantum group level. And one more observation is that in the new theory, the central charge has this expression where you also have this similar B and B inverse duality. And that's the reason why it's natural to consider new field theory. And then Teshna has come up with this representation of UKSL2R. So this is, as I explained, a representation parametrized by a real number, lambda. And this is the expression for the representation. And they are positive, essentially self-adjoint operators on L2R. So this factor in front is just a positive number, so you can. It's just like a scaling of the thing. But this scaling makes the representation having no particle limit.
So is it, I mean, I think the idea here is that the same way that for finite quantum groups, there's correspondence between quantum groups and fusion to the degree of, you know,
right.
CFT here, this is the same thing, right? It looks like that you're using it as a CFT UV. Fusion to the degree of UV is the modular.
Right. So this is the representation, and again, if you replace B by EB inverse in these expressions, you'll get another copy of the quantum group UQ to the SL2R, and they commute again weakly with the original generators. So now, if we remove these funny positive factors in front of the generators, then actually we have a very nice relation called the transcendental relations that relate the tutor part and the non-tutor part by taking some transcendental power. So B squared is irrational. So I'll say this transcendental power is not transcendental. Yeah, so there's like a relation between the tutor and non-tutor variables. And this makes sense because the generators we are considering is positive. So again, we can apply powers to them. So it means, in particular, that the representation he constructs is simultaneously a representation of both parts of the quantum group. So we can consider them all together and call this a representation of the modular double as well. Then there's also the existence of universal R operator, which provides a braiding of the representations, it interchange the coproduct, and it turns out to be a unitary operator on the Hilbert space, and also invariant under this B and B inverse interchange. So in the formula here, H is defined formally as the log of K, and GB is this special function called quantum dilogarithm, which one can think of as a non-compact version of both the quantum exponential function and the quantum gamma function. So it behaves, so simultaneously it has the properties of these two functions, which is really amazing.
Sorry, can I ask you the previous slide? So you had these, you had UQ and UQ for that?
Yes.
Is there a statement that the endomorphisms of Pythagorean that commute with UQ are precisely given by UQ to them?
Yeah, so I mean, the EFKs are commuting with E to the F to the Q to the F.
But is that everything? So
what do you mean by everything?
Is it
a commutant?
Yeah. I don't know in which sense it is, because I mean, for just polynomial, then it is. If you just consider the algebra, then it's by polynomial.
Let me put it this point differently. Yes. So if you take the whole U to the Q to the
F, right.
Are there any linear operators on P lambda that commute with all of U, Q, Q tilde?
Yeah, I'm not particularly sure.
He's asking whether linear.
But for example, for two.
Irreducible representation.
Yeah, that's it is in this sense, but there are like cases of operators. There are cases of operators that commute.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, so, right. Okay.
But I can't. But, thanks. All right, so you have the braiding in tensionless representation, and you also have the tensor product decomposition of the continuous in a continuous sense, as a direct integral. But now the measure, the Plancherian measure, will be expressed again in terms of quantum dilogarithms, or one can rewrite it in terms of this hypersigns function, which may be more relevant actually. So this decomposition depends on the spectral decomposition of the Casimir operator of the representations. And this tensor product structure is related to the fusion relations in Liu-Fu CFT. So the braiding and the tensor product closure will give you a continuous version of braided tensor K theory, although there may be still more extension to what one can do with this structure. So now we want to generalize the tensionless representation to a higher rank. And the idea is to quantize the minimal principal series representations. So those are the representations that is parametrized by the real span of the positive weight. So to talk about a little bit about the construction, we take the usual construction of the principal series representation by taking functions on the unipotent part and UGX by differential operator. But we use Luschdick's total positive space, which has a nice structure of just parameterized by real numbers, positive real numbers. So if we do a Malin transform, turning the positive reals to the whole real line, these differential operators will become finite difference operators. And finally, by doing an appropriate quantization and also these weak rotations where you change real to complex, you will end up with expressions of the generators in terms of positive operators. So this construction can be summarized in this theorem. We have an irreducible representation, P lambda, where lambda is parameterized by the real span of the positive weights, which one can also think of it as just rank G number of positive numbers. Then these generators are represented by positive, essentially self-adjoint operators acting on this Hilbert space, where n is the dimension of the unipotent part. We also have the transcendental relations, just like the one in Teschner before. But something interesting is that in the simplest case, it interchanges B and B inverse as before. But in the non-simplest case, the tilde part actually generates the Lanaks dual of the modular dual counterpart. So it interchanges the long root and the short root in the representations.
Is there a notion of like infidelity that would pick up the Lanaks duality in the simplest case too?
Sorry?
So for compact groups, the Langlands duality is even something interesting for a simplest case because it changes which the integrable modules
are. Right.
Do you have that? Does that
so in this simple case, so this is one thing that kind of intrigues me because in the simplest case, it seems to give back the same thing without some extra factors and things. But in the non-simplest case, it interchanges B and C. B and C types and FG also interchange.
I think I'm asking like in SL2, do you see a difference between SL2 and PSL2?
I never considered PSL2, so I mean the quantum version of that, so I'm not sure. So these generators again commute, it commutes with the tilde, but only up to a sign, so there's like a minus sign showing up sometimes.
What do you mean? Either commute or anti-commute?
Yes, exactly. So,
what's the
rule? So before in SL2 case, you have this e to the 2 pi I, which becomes 1, but in the higher rank case, you will have e to the pi I also. But there's a way of shifting these generators by the Cartan part to make these factors cancel away. So one can do a rescaling of the generators to get rid of this sign. But just from the generators itself, there's a sign.
If you take the commute of the EFK, do you get the ET, or you have to? I mean, if you can, this is anyway, do you get the ET?
So you need to modify the definition of quantum group a little bit to get rid of the signs.
Okay, but still within that algebra.
Yes.
So you need to introduce
some generators, it's like
some
a extra, shifting of the
extra generators, or it's just extra scale.
I think just scaling.
The scaler will not be able to change the notion of commute.
I mean, it's like a non-commute scaling by the Cartan part. So these Q commutation relations will have these different powers in the Q. I forgot the details here. But I'll say for now, it's commute up to a sign. And the construction depends on Lushnik's total positivity, which depends on the choice of reduced expression of the longest root of the wild group. The construction here shows that the representation does not depend on the reduced expression, where different reduced expressions are related by unitary equivalence. So one proposed that this should be considered modulable, where you take also the Lanaks dual part, say in the long simplest case. So to talk about the explicit structure of this representation, if you let uk and vk be, again, the exponential and shifting operators, it generates n copies of the quantum plane. Then these generators are represented by Laurent polynomials in these expressions with positive coefficients together with some powers in Q. And ki is represented by multiplication operators. So in particular, if you ignore this real structure and just consider the representation as algebras in U and V, this extends the Figen's homomorphism of the Borel part to some quantum torus to the whole quantum group. So the actual expression is actually like a double of the Figen's map.
So I have to check, how are little n and capital N related?
Little n is the rank of the group, capital N is the dimension of the Borel part, or the longest element, length of the longest.
Is there any natural
implication
of this
condition? I don't know that for now. And the expression, especially for the Borel part, this expression is, I think, it's very systematic. There's like a formula for that. But for the other Borel part, it can get very complicated, depending on the choice of your initial choice of the reduced expression of the longest word. So I don't know about the meaning of this positive coefficient yet. So the question now is whether one can generalize all this nice structure of closure under tensor product, the braiding, and even the Peter-Weyl theorem. So right now, only the braiding has been done, but there are much progress by Gus and Sasha Saprilo on the other two problems as well. So we look forward to the result. And studying these problems also leads to connections with other areas that I will now explain. So the first one is the relation to C-star algebra. So to recall, let me introduce the notion of multiplier Hopf algebra. If G is a compact group, then one can consider a Hopf algebra structure on the functions on this compact group. And there's the usual usual coproduct given by dualizing the product on the group. But when G is locally compact, the natural space to consider are those functions vanishing at infinity. But now the coproduct, using the same formula, doesn't live in the tensor product of the two, because, for example, there's like this slice where the function does not decay at all. So this motivates the definition of multiplier Hopf algebra, where for a multiplier is a it's like a ideal, it's like the smallest C star algebra that contains A as an ideal, but also include the unit. So a better example is to consider just the above, where if you take A to be the functions decaying at infinity, then the multiplier will be the bounded functions on this group. And then this coproduct can be expressed as just bounded functions or multiplier on the tensor product. So the definition of multiplier Hopf algebra is to extend this coproduct, co-unit, antipode structure into the space, into the algebra of multiplier as well. So the idea of in this split real business is to consider bounded operators instead of the unbounded ones. So if we start with some unbounded operators, as I explained before, you can take complex powers to turn them into unitary operators. Now, if you supply them with like a coefficient function where it vanishes quick enough, then this defines a bounded operator on some Hilbert space. So if we take the generators of our positive representations, it turns out that the non-simple root, for example, taking Lushtig isomorphism, is still a positive self-adjoint operator, which means by this idea, one can define a continuous version of the PBW basis, where instead of the usual polynomial of those generators labeled by positive roots, we take complex powers and then do such an integration of bounded operators generated by this basis. So the result will be a C-star algebraic version of the Borel part of the quantum group, which I denote by UB. And it turns out that this is a multiplier Hopf algebra, which means a lot of techniques from C-star algebra can be applied to this object. In particular, one can do also a Dreamfield doubles construction on this multiplier Hopf algebra. Then the canonical element in this multiplier is precisely the universal R operator. So this is actually a nice language because, say, in the usual R, universal R matrix, the R is usually defined as some element in certain completion of tensor product of the quantum group, but now one can just use the language of multiplier of algebra to remove all these technicalities.
And it's not preferred, right? The multiplier algebra is
not. No, this is definitely not this is definitely not a trivial statement. It's not a trivial statement, I think. Yeah, so with this general construction, one can restrict to the positive representations, and we get a braiding of the positive representations that satisfies the braiding relation, and it restricts to unitary operator on our representations. So this gives the braiding part. And yeah, so as I explained, there are many techniques from C-star algebra or non-commutative geometry that one can apply, including multiplier Hopf algebra, the language of locally compact quantum group, And I'm setting a sort of multiplicative unit theory, which is a unit theory operator intertwining co-product with just the multiplication of the element itself. There's also the Galfan-Lyman-Siegel representations in C-star algebra. So in particular, using this language, this is how the right-hand side of this Peter-Walsh theorem is defined, where we construct a C-star algebraic version of the positive part of SI2R and consider the GNS representations to define the Hilbert space. And by a hop pairing of the UQG and this SI2R, we get the decomposition as regular representations. So another aspect is the positive customary operators. So recall that, say, in the classical Lie theory, the center of SL2 is defined by C equals FE plus 1/2 of N plus H. And you can quantize this expression to get a center of the quantum group as well. So let us just rescale the Fermi factor and define this instead. Then this expression actually acts as positive scalar on the positive representations. like this. And the decomposition of tensor product decomposition then depends on the spectral decomposition of the co-product of this Casimir on tensor product of the positive conditions. So the motivation is try to study how one can decompose the Casimir. But before that, so that's the main motivation, but then the side product is what happens when What's the action of C when it goes to higher rank? So in higher rank, the center will be generated by a rank G Casimir elements, which has a nice formula defined by taking the quantum trace over the fundamental representations of product of two R matrix. So it turns out that one can also restrict this to the positive representations and calculate the eigenvalues. And it turns out that it has a really nice formula in terms of just weight space of the fundamental representations with this, with the lambda defining the parameter of the representations. And they are all positive bound below by the dimension of the fundamental representations. The idea of the calculation is to find, yes?
Can you explain the k dependence there?
So there are n Casimir elements. Each one is labeled by.
But in the sum, like what is in the CK?
So this is your fundamental representations,
yeah.
And these are like the weight space of these representations with weight mu.
Okay, and mu is the weight.
Mu is the weight.
Yes.
And then this is like the weight applied to the co-weight of those fundamental co-weight. And this is like a positive number that is bounded below by the dimension. And the idea is to introduce something called a virtual highest weight, which, if you remember, the Casimir can be represented as some Calcan part K, and also some, and also the other part written by the Borel, with all the E's on one side, say. In the original classical theory, one applies highest weight representations, so all the E's just get killed and you are left with K. So there's no highest weight. Highest weight in the positive representations, but one can kind of pretend there is one by taking certain analytic continuation of the eigenfunctions of the KI multiplication operators. So to summarize, I mean, the customer only depends also on the Cartan part, but there's this twisting by the science and the BB was, anyway, so I don't know how to explain it. So the idea is that there's some kind of analytic continuation from the classical compact theory to the real theory allows you to compute the eigenvalues of these customers. So as an example, in type A2, there are two customers written in this way. Then when you compute on the positive representations, it reduced from 35 terms to a positive scalar, which is bigger than 3. Oops. And this is like a diagram. I don't know why it's so short. So for each choice of lambda 1 and lambda 2, you have a point on the eigenvalues of this Casimir, so it bounds a region. So it turns out that region is defined by the discriminant of some polynomials, which is related to, which is called discriminant variety and may have some relations to singularity theory. Yeah, so the conjecture is that the coproduct of this Casimir will also simultaneously diagonalizable with eigenvalues bounded in this region. So finally, I would like to have some words on quantum tabular theory. So given that surface S with punctures, the tabular space, which is like the space of compact structures modeled out by diffeomorphisms isotopic to the isotopy, the space of compact structures, has so this tabular space has a nice Poisson structure called the Robertson Poisson structure. And there's also a mapping class group action on the tabular space. So the Poisson structure allows you to do a quantization of your tabular space, and they will be represented on the space of on some Hilbert space called the space of state. And mapping class group elements will then be acting on unitary operator on this Hilbert space. And the goal of all this quantum tabular theory is to find new projective unitary representations of the mapping class group. So from the physics point of view, this space of state in tabular theory are also related to the space of conformal blocks in Hilbert CFT. This is done by, in some papers, by Teschner. So there are two main approach on tabular theory based on triangulations of your surface. So the first one is the Kashayev's coordinate, which for each triangle of your triangulations, he assigned two coordinates, which is Poisson commute in a nice sense. And then in the quantization picture, it becomes the study of what's called a Kashayev's groupoid associated to the change of dotted ideal triangulations. So this will be the picture where when you have a dotted triangulations, A operator kind of change the position of the dot, and T is the usual flips of the triangulations. And then you have several relations among these operators. There's two more that I didn't show. Oops. Another approach is Thurston shear coordinate, or a related construction called span as lambda length, which associate coordinates to the sides of the triangles. And this will lead to Fock and Gontcharov's version of the cluster variety, or the XGS space. So in the first picture, the Kashayev version, a result by Frankel Kim, states that the T operator and the A operator I mentioned can be constructed from representation of the quantum plane given by some tensor product decomposition and also the identification of the dual representation associated to the antipodes. So in particular, the quantum planes are just the Borel part of SL2. So if we replace the Borel part by the one in the higher rank, we expect to construct some candidate for the quantum higher tabular theory also. So one particular result is that the representation, the positive representations, when you restrict to the Borel part, it turns out it does not depend on lambda. So it behaves very closely to the SL2 case, and this allows us to construct the quantum mutation operator. So the next step is to construct the A operator of changing the dot, which turns out to be quite non-trivial, and we are still working on this construction. So this is the Kashayev's picture, and the other approach is to use Fock and Gontcharov's cluster variety language. So one can think of tabular theory as the modulized space of PSL to our local system. So a higher tabular theory should be considered as some modulized space of G local system instead. So flat connections, principle G bundled with flat connections. So Fock and Gontcharov define a object called the cluster variety, which is kind of a framed version of this modulized space. And it has a nice Poisson structure described by Kreufers associated to this triangulation of your surface. And in particular, you can quantize them, and it can be described by quantum torus, some quantum torus algebra. So for example, in SL4, this is the preferred describing destruction. So it turns out that the representation of the positive the expression for the positive representations allows you to construct an embedding of the quantum group into such a quantum torus algebra, which is again an extension of this figure map before from before. Here the surface S will be a disk with one puncture and two mark points. So in this construction, one can also study the universal R matrix, which turns out to be given by these preferred mutations of your triangulation, of these preferred associated triangulations that provides the half entries. So as an example, in the SL4 case, this disk with one puncture and two mark points has this preferred associated to two triangles stick together on two sides. And this is the resulting prefer. And in the work of Schroeder and Shapiro, there's this embedding of UQSL4 on this diagram by this embedding of UQSL4 into the quantum torus algebra, where the generators are expressed combinatorially as some telescopic sums of the variables associated to these vertices. So one can express the representations in terms of just paths over this preferred diagram in a combinatorial way. So this should be the F generators, and this should be the E generators. And this has been constructed for all types. So for example, this is the picture for type EA. And then the generators of the F generators of UQG are represented nicely in a telescopic sum of this diagram in the horizontal line. But then the E generators are very funny. So this will be E1. This is E2. It's E3, E4, E5, E6. E7 is very short. E8. Right.
E6 is really funny.
Yes, E6 is a special one. Is there some self loops in the path? Okay. Yeah. So this is some other remarks that in a joint work with Anton Zetlin in Colombia. Oh, he's already left already. So it turns out that one, given a representation of UQSL2R, one can also construct a representation for the super quantum group UQOSP12 by some what we call a spinner trick. And the in particular, what one sees is that one can induce modular double structure from the split real group to also the super case, which is a very interesting problem to extend this also to higher rank. But I will really do that.
Yeah. This has to do. So this UQSP1/2 has to do with
super real. Yes. That's what Anton is interested in about. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So to summarize, these are the compact classical group representation theory is very nice, and it quantized, generalized to the quantization, the quantum group level also in a nice way, which leads to many applications. And we expect the positive representations will also lead to many new applications. And this will be the summary of the connections between positive representation and hopefully many different parts of areas in mathematics and physics. So I skipped some explanations of other things, but I hope some people will be interested in some directions of this research. Right, so that's the end of the talk.
Do you have any idea what is the generalization of the CFT in UV?
So this will be on this part, so instead of the Liouville CFT in the higher rank should be considered as the total theory. And it turns out in the recent work by Schroeder and Shapiro, they kind of find connections between, say, the Casimir operators of the representation and the Q total Hamiltonians in the total integral systems. So there will be some relations there.
today is okay. Is that today? It's an integrable theory.
Yes, yes.
Is it a CFT?
Is it a CFT?
Yeah, there are many things to apply.
Yeah, it's not a question why.
It's a different fix.
Yeah. It's a different order.
Different order, indeed. So the fact you get solar Victoria and some of the cardinals is not the same total as the total quantum field. Total quantum field. Okay.
No more questions, let's check that in again.